Hey, my name is Legacy from the Perfect 10 Club, and you're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Tuned in during our Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we have to face whether or not to keep our FM antenna on a tower in Greene County. The lease on the tower site comes up for renewal next year, and WGXC needs to decide if it's financially stable enough to renew it and keep broadcasting 3,300 watts on 90.7 FM. So we need your help. Make a contribution today at wgxc.org/donate to keep broadcast of Democracy Now! On every morning on WGXC and the WGXC Morning Show following with local news after you hear the international news from Amy Goodman and company. Please go to wgxc.org/donate. Stay tuned for the WGXC Morning Show coming up after Jason Martin finishes singing this song. Then it's time for the local news on WGXC.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston. And they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar, will be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that the state attorney general's office recently served a grand jury subpoena on Rensselaer County, asking for a store of absentee ballot documents that were handled last year by County Operations Director Richard W. Crist and also Jim Gordon, the county's director of purchasing. The subpoena requests the records from the Board of Elections be returned to a Rensselaer County grand jury in late November. It also asked for absentee documents that may have been handled by Leslie A. Wallace and Sarah J. McDermott, who both work for Rensselaer County. McDermott has been described by county political insiders as a GOP operative. The attorney general's investigation is separate from a federal grand jury inquiry being handled by the FBI and the Albany U.S. Attorney's Office. That investigation is focusing on voter fraud allegations in Rensselaer County and led to the guilty plea of a former Troy City Council member, Kimberly Ash McPherson, as well as the indictment 2 months ago of Jason T. Schofield, the county's Republican Elections Commissioner. Ash McPherson, 61, a Republican, pleaded guilty in June to fraudulently submitting absentee ballots in last year's primary and general elections as she sought re-election. She subsequently resigned from public office. Schofield was charged with fraudulently obtaining and filing absentee ballots using the personal information of at least 8 voters without their permission. He has pleaded not guilty and has returned to work at the Board of Elections. A source said the Attorney General's subpoena seeks absentee records similar to those previously subpoenaed by the U.S. Attorney's Office. However, the state subpoena specifically lists the names of Crist, Gordon, Wallace, and McDermott. Wallace was listed in payroll records 2 years ago as an assistant for constituent relations in the office of County Executive Steve McLaughlin. McDermott is a confidential assistant in the Human Resources Office and has been active in local politics and government. Last year, she ran for county executive on the Working Families Party line. Crist and Gordon both became a focus in the Justice Department's investigation in February when FBI agents seized their mobile phones days after a federal grand jury subpoena was served on the county seeking voter records. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Kenneth C. Crow is reporting in the Times Union that Republican Congressperson Elise Stefanik stood next to Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin on October 24, who faces felony charges for the alleged misuse of campaign funds, and called the charges against McLaughlin, and I quote, a political witch hunt. The FBI is absolutely politicalized and weaponized, end quote. But the charges against McLaughlin were filed by state prosecutors, not the FBI. McLaughlin was indicted in 2021 by a grand jury for grand larceny and offering a false instrument for filing for allegedly stealing $5,000 from his campaign account in November 2021. The scheme allegedly had McLaughlin taking campaign funds through a consulting firm to pay back a loan to a former legislative staff member just weeks after he won his first term as county executive. But the FBI did not bring those charges. Nevertheless, she persisted. Stefanik said, and I quote, we see at all levels the FBI has been weaponized to go after Republicans, end quote, even though the FBI is not involved in McLaughlin's case. But the Times Union reports, and I quote, federal investigators are, however, looking into allegations of ballot fraud in Rensselaer County, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that a group of students at Vassar College has submitted a letter to the Dutchess County Executive and Legislature warning of alleged voter suppression by the Dutchess County Republican Elections Commissioner. Student leaders of Democracy Matters, backed by the Andrew Goodman Foundation, the League of Women Voters of the Mid-Hudson Region, and Dutchess Student Voting Coalition, sent a letter to County Executive Marcus Molinaro and Legislature Chair Greg Pulver on October 24th. Claiming the Dutchess Board of Elections is in, quote, clear violation, unquote, of state law by failing to designate an on-campus polling site at Vassar College in the town of Poughkeepsie. The League of Women Voters noted Republican Commissioner Eric J. Height has a history of, quote, well-documented years-long ongoing efforts to suppress the youth vote in Dutchess County, unquote. Height has had well-publicized disagreements with Bard College over inadequate and unconstitutional polling facilities for campus residents. In various student voting rights lawsuits successfully brought by Bard College over the last decade, Height's refusal to act cost Dutchess County taxpayers more than $120,000 in legal fees. According to the Vassar students' letter, the group is asking the county to designate a campus site by the end of this week. At present, student voters in Ward 6, Election Districts 3 and 4, must walk off campus to the Dutchess County Water and Wastewater Authority, while those in Ward 6, Election District 2, must take a shuttle to an off-campus polling site on New Hackensack Road. County buses do not serve the latter location. Board of Elections Democratic Elections Commissioner Hannah Black proposed a central polling site at Vassar for the fall election that would provide voting access for all 3 election districts that currently cut through the campus, while keeping open all existing off-campus polling sites. Haidt said Black's proposal is prohibited by election law. Quote, I have repeatedly asked her for a solution that complies with the entirety of the law, and she's failed to do so, unquote, he said. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Emilia Teasdale reports for the Columbia Paper that Kinderhook's town board approved a $2.8 million budget for 2023 at its October 3rd meeting. Town Supervisor Tom Ohms said the budget was flat except, and I quote, anything in highway is up, end quote. The Kinderhook Town Board also accepted some resignations at the meeting. Count and Code Enforcement Officer and Building Inspector Tom Burrell resigned due to what Ohms said were, and I quote, health reasons, end quote, and Kevin Haberline was appointed to fill the position. Haberline already works in the Building Inspector's office. Also, Francis Gutto from the Board of Assessment Review resigned, and the assessment board will find a replacement for him on that volunteer board. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
The Berkshire Eagle reports that all roads to the summit of Mount Greylock in Adams, Massachusetts, will close for the winter at 3 p.m. on October 30th. All vehicles must leave the mountain by that time. Bascom Lodge, located at the summit, has already closed, so there are no services available at the summit. At 3,491 feet, Mount Greylock is the highest point in Massachusetts. From its peak on a clear day, you can see as far as 90 miles away. The roads and the lodge will reopen in late May 2023. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Bill Mahoney reports at Politico about the single debate between Democrat Tom DiNapoli and Republican Paul Rodriguez for New York's comptroller election this fall. DiNapoli is a four-term incumbent, and Rodriguez is an investor who received 5.6% of the vote as the Conservative Party nominee in last year's race to be New York City's comptroller. It was an amiable debate, and several times Rodriguez agreed with DiNapoli. Rodriguez said about concerns about the state's approach to gambling, and I quote, I have to agree in many ways with Mr. DiNapoli on this, end quote. When the incumbent responded to a question about who the best New York governor has been, he said, and I quote, Al Smith is a very good answer, actually, end quote. The biggest difference noted between the two candidates was on how much of an activist role the comptroller should take with pension funds. DiNapoli said, and I quote, more diverse representation, more women on boards, make a company better. The Wall Street mentality of only looking at numbers and being blind to what a company is actually doing is the wrong strategy, end quote. Rodriguez disagreed there, saying that he doesn't think, and I quote, that public pension plans should be managed like private activist hedge funds, end quote. The other big difference between the two candidates in this election has been campaign spending. Rodriguez has spent $10.86 so far on his campaign, state records show, while DiNapoli has spent about $2.2 million. Voting begins October 29th and ends November 8th. Read the full story at Politico.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 67 degrees. There'll be a slight chance of showers on Wednesday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 53 degrees. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 61 degrees. And Thursday night, areas of frost before 2 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 37 degrees. That's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
T- tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM on Wednesday, October 26th, including at 9 a.m., Larry Sharp, the Libertarian governor candidate, is interviewed on the WGXC Morning Show. At 10 a.m., Evan McCormick features the Susie and the Banshees record Juju on his Music in Time show. And Maria Manhattan beams in live from Hudson with the Hudson Cafe. Spike Priggen is live from Catskill at noon with the Dazzled Radio Hour. And at 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. WGXC Congressional Report and brand new music from Catskill's Rodney Allen Greenblatt, among other features on the show. 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show is live from Brooklyn, simulcast from WBAI from the Hacker Quarterly 2600 team, all about technology. Then at 8 p.m., we go to Catskill with Music for the Masses with Neva Wartell. And at 10 p.m., we're in Ulster County with Rob Saffer and his Overlook Show and new music on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston, and they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others, on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar. We'll be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
This is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles, and if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 26th. Local early morning temperatures range from 56 degrees in Durham to 60 in pretty much all of Columbia County, from Chatham to Rhinebeck. The regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. Closest possible snowfall today is 500 miles away in Canadian territory north of Lake Huron. Chance of fog this morning, should clear out by 9 a.m. when air starts to move around. Rain chances will be around all day, and we will get a high of 69 at 2 p.m. Overnight, rain stops by midnight, and we see a low of 51. Tomorrow will be windy with a high of 60 degrees. Overnight, we get a frost warning as temperatures drop to 36 degrees. Friday will be dry with a high of 56. Another cold night hitting the mid-30s. Then on Saturday, a high of 59. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:44 a.m., low tide at 10:29 a.m., high tide at 4:07 p.m., and low tide, once again, at 11:07 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 5:45 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see not much is happening, only a 5% chance of M-class flares today. So the wind speed is currently 364 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 72. and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And right now is the time to become a sustaining supporter. Help keep the radio tower powered. Head on over to WGXC.org, hit that big, easy donate button, and keep those airwaves fun and unique.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and The Better Weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxc.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or $20 a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say.
But with college behind us, we'll need careers and good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
Sound when you hear radio, you hear the propagation of waves. Before transmitters, there were steeples. Before wireless, there was prayer. Before ham radio, there was monastic devotion. The miracle of radio is just the most modern miracle. What is radio good for? I'll tell you, it's good to dispense information, amuse the multitudes, scare people to death, issue commands, incite riot, a call to arms, chastise the listener, plea for funds, emergency instructions, weather reports, story hour, radio plays, and music, classical, pop, swing, rock and roll, and mood music. Crystal balls are obsolete, but are they? They don't need to be plugged in, and they never need batteries. But where can you find one of those these days? You can pick up a radio at a store.
Now we're back in the studio, which, by the way, this is a great opportunity to ask you, dear listener, to donate to WGXC ACRA. Please go to WGXC.org/donate and become a sustaining monthly supporter. It's so easy.
It's so easy. This pledge drive specifically is about renewing our access to the radio tower so that it can still be a real radio station and not just an internet one. And I think that that is such an important goal and so wonderful. I love listening to WGXC on my drive to work and home every day. And if we didn't have a radio tower, I wouldn't be able to do that. And I'd be very upset. And I wouldn't know about any of our local news. And I wouldn't hear any of the cool events that are going on around our area.
Exactly. The car is a special and magical place for me where I do most of my listening. And, you know... when everything comes crumbling down and the big old internet gets unplugged, radio waves are still going to be there.
It's true.
They're going to be there forever because the sun makes them.
As we all know.
As we all know, radio waves come from the sun and they're going to be there forever. It's going to outlast us all. well, and so
a really cool thing about WGXC is that it is actually powered by the sun, but yes, not the radio waves themselves.
Where do radio waves come from, Jenny?
I don't know.
I think they come from the
sun.
They
probably come from the sun.
Just like x-rays.
You're right. Oh my God. You're really blowing this wide open.
Yeah. Don't quote me on this. But you know, a point being is being able to listen to the radio from an FM tower is really special. Thinking about how radio works is mysterious and magical, and I don't know, and I don't want to know because I like just soaking in life's great mysteries. But please keep us on the air, on the FM tower. It's great to be online also because that's great for people who don't live in our radius to have access to this wonderful station, but we love to be on the FM airwaves. So please, once again, head to WGXC.org/donate and become a supporter of our wonderful radio station.
It's great.
All right, Jenny, should we tell the listeners about what is playing in the movie theaters in
absolutely.
Our area?
We absolutely should. I thought you'd never ask.
All right, so I'll start and I will tell everybody what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. This is a combination movie theater and Subway and Carvel and laundromat and also Airbnb, I guess. But it's a cool theater. They have couches that you can sit on. So we have Black Adam, Ticket to Paradise, and Halloween Ends. And you can find out more about tickets and showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WindhamTheater.com.
Now I shall tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. So we have Don't Worry, Darling, The Woman King, The Good House, Hold Me Tight, and then later at the end of the month of November, Tar, which I'm very excited to see. The other thing that's happening at the Crandall Theater this month is the Columbia Film Festival, like the Columbia County Film Festival, which is very exciting. And there's lots of cool, I believe it is, so sorry, it's actually called Film Columbia 2022.
Oh, okay.
So sorry. but it is basically the Columbia County Film Festival. And you can find out about those specific theaters, those specific movies that are being screened and the showtimes at the Crandall at crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. All right, so I'm going to tell you about the Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, otherwise known as the 8-Screen Cinema on Fairview Avenue or the Hudson 8-Plex. I've called it many, many things. The one that's next to Tractor Supply. We have Ticket to Paradise, Amsterdam, Black Adam, Lyle, Crocodile, Bros, Barbarian, Smile, and Halloween Ends. It's ending, thank goodness. you can find out more about showtimes and ticket prices at spotlightcinemas.com.
Now I shall tell you what's playing at the Upstate Cinema in Rhinebeck, also known as the Star Cinema. We have Triangle of Sadness, Tar, Henry V, and Amsterdam. And you can find out those showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
What about
the Socrates Theater?
Yeah, the Upstate
Well,
Socrates.
I was going to wait and make you wait for it, but I'll tell you now because you asked so nicely.
I want to hear.
All right. Well, at the Upstate Cinema in Socrates, which is also known as the Orpheum Theater, we have Till, Triangle of Sadness, Ticket to Paradise, Brilliant Disguise, Moon Age Daydream, and Bros. And again, all of those are at upstatefilms.org so that you can find out exactly when you want to go see all those great new flicks.
Amazing. All right, the last theater that I'm going to tell you about is our Hudson's very own TSL, Time and Space Limited. So now playing, we have My Architect. We have Hopper, An American Love Story. We have Riotsville, USA. City Lights. Il Bidone. I'm so sorry. It's a Fellini movie, and I know I have a movie show, but I don't know much about Fellini. Il Bidone. And that's it for now playing, but TSL does have a really expansive calendar, so I encourage you to go to timeandspace.org to find out more about what's playing in the whole month of October and November and about ticket prices and all of that. That's timeandspace.org.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Russia would be making an incredibly serious mistake if we're to use a tactical nuclear weapon. I'm not guaranteeing you that it's a false flag operation yet. Don't know.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden warned Russia to not use a tactical nuclear weapon in its war with Ukraine after Russia notified the U.S. it will start to stage routine nuclear drills. While Russia did comply with the terms of the last U.S.-Russia arms control agreement in alerting the U.S., it has raised concern as the conflict in Ukraine intensifies. Defense Department spokesperson Brigadier General Pat Ryder says they are monitoring the situation closely.
We have not seen at this time, though, any indication that Russia has made a decision or intends to employ nuclear weapons or a dirty bomb. But again, it's something that we'll continue to watch closely.
After criticism from Democratic and Ukrainian leaders, the Congressional Progressive Caucus has retracted a letter which called for President Biden to directly participate in diplomatic negotiations with Russia to bring an end to the war with Ukraine. The letter, originally drafted in June, was not released until Monday. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the indictment of several Chinese intelligence officers accused of attempting to obstruct a criminal probe and pay bribes for access to classified information regarding the criminal prosecution of Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei.
This was an egregious attempt by PRC intelligence officers to shield a PRC-based company from accountability and to undermine the integrity of our judicial system.
The Chinese telecom company was facing federal prosecution in Brooklyn, New York for possible interference and meddling in U.S. politics and for trying to steal intellectual property. Despite lawsuits, recounts, and denials of the outcome in many battleground states, election law attorney Benjamin Ginsburg told an audience at the American Enterprise Institute Tuesday the 2020 election was a well-run election.
What's going to happen in 2022 sort of continues to fall under that general ambit.
Ginsburg stressed each state has pre-election day procedures set in place to make sure votes are being accurately counted at polling locations. In a debate with his Democratic opponent Tom Sherman, New Hampshire's Republican Governor Chris Sununu affirmed the 2020 election was not stolen despite having endorsed Republican candidates who claimed it was.
The citizens of New Hampshire have higher confidence in their system than pretty much anywhere else in the country. We do it right. We're the model for most of these other states.
And finally, officials said about 575 incorrect ballots for the midterms were mailed in Washington, D.C. According to the D.C. Board of Elections, the mistake was caused by a mismatch of residents to their newly updated electoral districts. The city will be mailing new ballots to each affected voter. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRUS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Today, we have another in our series of Why Americans Don't Vote. In the 2016 election, over 41%, 100 million people, didn't vote at all, despite a contentious and competitive election. One of the reasons cited in a poll after the 2016 election was a lack of faith in the electoral system. The Knight Foundation's 2020 study found that 27% of non-voters said the system was rigged or corrupt. 2 years later, in July 2022, a CNN poll of both non-voters and voters showed that just 42% of Americans had some confidence that the results of U.S. elections reflect the will of the people. In the wake of the January 6th hearings, polls by Monmouth University and the Brennan Center in September and October 2022 showed that only a slight majority of Americans are confident in our electoral system. The midterm turnout will show whether the Big Lie disinformation campaign succeeds in keeping more voters home. Of particular concern are trends among younger citizens who are eligible to vote, ages 18 to 24. The Knight Foundation found that while they consume media, they are less informed on news and politics than even habitual non-voters. Alarmingly, 20% of younger eligible voters say voting doesn't make any difference. Links to articles and the surveys can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, democracy is not something we have, it's something we do. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
After missing many meetings over the fall and into the winter, Catskill Village President Vincent Seely resigned. He claims credit for calling Catskill the ever-improving village. Several years ago, Catskill musician Brian Dewan wrote his own song called Our Ever-Improving Village. Here is that song.
This is a song called The Ever-Improving Village. The antifreeze and Pepto-Bismol sunset tips aslant and seeps into the water table like a sewage treatment plant. A lunchbox swings at screeches on which feral children play. Their hollers strain through chain-link fences all the mean dog day. Hang a left at Colonial Drug, the local den of sin. Kitty corner across the street from the horse and buggy motor inn. A crooked mile past Murderer's Creek, just north of Indian Head Hill, lies our ever-improving village on the banks of Thornbush Kill. The power
powers that be won't likely vote for doing something rash, like plow the streets or fill in potholes or pick up household trash. They raise the ban shell for being an attractive nuisance, so they say. Then they tore down the public library for being old and in the way. They put a WubMart up invoking eminent domain in hopes it will kill off the local business that remains. Yet once there was an ordinance that you couldn't build no higher the statue of William Penknife or the Second Parish Spire. Things aren't so bad, they're getting better. We're not so bad, we're getting better. Things aren't so bad, they're getting better. We're not so bad, we're getting better. Instead of loitering round the liquor store, the wayward youth will enter our state-of-the-art brand spanking new juvenile detention center. Get your kicks at the 5 and 10 or the 12-lane polydrome. The ace of burgers, the rummage roost, or the gloaming old folks' home. We've got the county's largest junkyard, which truly does deserve to be declared an accidental wildlife reserve. In spite of all you've heard about the underground oil spillage, you've got to admit we've got a heck of a view from our ever-improving village. We're not so bad, we're getting better in our ever-improving village.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Rebecca Shimada has worked hard over her time as a writer and editor to make poetry accessible to everyone, not just those in academia. She herself graduated with a BA in English and Creative Writing from SUNY New Paltz and an MA in Poetics and Creative Writing from San Francisco State University. She is the author of full-length books Falling Forward, Cadillac Men, Waiting at the Dead End Diner, Our One-Way Street, and the following chapbooks, The Tear Duct of Our Storm, Dream Big, Work Harder, The Map of Our Garden, From Seed to Sin, and she's the co-author of Common Wages with Don Winter. In her writing, she often tells the stories of the working class. She once took a job as a waitress for a book, Waiting at the Dead End Diner, and got inspiration from the people who walked in the door and sat at her tables. In her book Cadillac Men, Rebecca writes about the regulars who frequented the pool hall her and her husband opened in Kingston, New York. She read about one of those characters, Mikey Meatballs, at Restaurant Navona in Albany on October 19th, 2016.
Mikey Meatball's been kicked out of every pool hall he's ever set foot in. He's forged checks, harassed patrons, hustled a small fortune, lost a small fortune. Once, he repeatedly rammed his car into a guy's truck over a botched bet. He's been locked up and drugged up. He blames it all on Agent Orange. In Vietnam, he was an officer. In Jersey, he owned a billiard hall. In Brooklyn, he owned an Italian delicatessen. They called him Papa Meatball. In Texas, he played a man for his Cadillac and won, but totaled it on his way back east. On Haight-Ashbury, he sold a hookah to a hippie for $10,000, claiming it was Jerry Garcia's. In Connecticut, he siphoned gas from some fish's car before winning his wedding band on the table. He's a regular in the police blotter, most recently for whipping his at a bagel shop owner for skimping him on cream cheese. Once he convinced some kid he shot like because he was using a left-handed pool cue. Last week, he told me he saw my husband pick up a prostitute on Broadway just to see my jaw drop. Instead, I responded, well, at least he's getting some. When Mikey looks into the table, he sees his own version of reality. 15 object balls, 6 pockets, and men who will believe anything he says if there's money on the table.
The Mikey Meatballs came from my husband and I owned a pool hall in Kingston, New York. And the pool hall had a colorful crew of people who came in. And it was right before the recession is when we opened it. And then when the recession hit, it was, you know, a difficult time. And I was working full time and my husband was doing, you know, most of the time at the pool hall doing other side business. And we kind of met all these characters that came in. And I say characters because they were characters and they became part of the poems that I wrote for a book called Cadillac Men. Mikey Meatballs in particular was a well-known local pool player who was a good pool player, really good pool player. He was known for getting into a lot of trouble with the law. He actually, there was another pool hall and in the area and in Kingston, and we actually bought the equipment from the guy and that owned that pool hall. And Mikey Meatballs, that's not his real name, but he's a real person. He ended up actually driving his truck through the front of the pool hall and hitting it, hitting, breaking the windows and stuff over a botched bet. So he was a character that was extremely, people in the area knew who he was. And the funniest part about him was that we were in a pool league down there. And his girlfriend, wife, kind of on and off again, wife, then divorce and girlfriend, actually heard me read that poem at a poetry reading and didn't know it was him. We only had it for a year. Once the recession hit, we couldn't keep the doors open. Pool halls, they're just so, especially when we had it, this was, I guess 2007 was the recession. So it was right around then. You can't, the overhead is so high that to keep the doors open, we just couldn't do it. And we didn't have a bar initially. We didn't want to do the whole bar thing. We wanted a kid friendly place, which you can't do. You need the money from alcohol, unfortunately. Right. So, you know, we did a year and then we had to close down. We just couldn't keep the doors open. We were losing money keeping the doors open. So we paid out our, we owed money and we paid it out and just closed.
Rebecca is co-founder and editor of Trailer Park Quarterly, an online zine for poetry. She started TPQ with a desire to give poets who were not on the college and university circuit a chance to be read and appreciated by a larger global audience. The goal was much like Mark Kelly Smith's when he started the idea of a poetry slam in Chicago in the 1980s, giving the working class writer a platform to share their work.
So Trailer Park Quarterly was initially Daniel Crocker, who's a Missouri professor and poet, started Trailer Park Quarterly. And he asked me to join, I think about a year after he started. His whole idea is that he wanted, we were both academic poets, in school, but in life we weren't really writing academic work, and we couldn't find places, either of us, where we really could showcase our work. And he wanted to create a forum where we got real poetry from real people. And it was exciting and not, you know, about flowers or, you know, academic big words. We just wanted real, real writing, raw, just beautiful stuff. And, you know, we both had the same vision. And so when he asked me, I was like, absolutely. And then we worked for, you know, God, I think it was like over a decade on TPQ. And then he recently just took a back seat for a few years.
Trailer Park Quarterly is currently accepting submissions for two upcoming issues. Rebecca goes on to talk about some ideas for these issues and trying new things with the online format.
We're open for submissions from now until December 15th. We decided it was Jason Baldinger is my co-editor right now. We decided that we would read for two issues. So we would have one open period for two issues and we'll bank the work that we're saving. We're really thinking about doing an audio issue. So that will be a component of one of the issues. I think it's so wonderful to hear a poem read. It's a totally different feel than looking at it, you know, online, because it's an online magazine, not on paper. So we're really excited about that. And the, you know, we're getting some great, we already have like tons of submissions. So, and from writers that are amazing.
And now, working with the Hudson Valley Writers Guild, Shimeda wants to get students from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade involved in writing, editing, and publishing their very own literary and art magazine.
Yes, so we're starting, the Hudson Valley Writers Guild is kind of starting a kids, a K through 12, I believe it's going to be more high school, depending on what submissions we get, magazine that showcases students of the Hudson Valley's work. Both poetry and art. It's slow moving. We're getting, you know, we're getting there. We have some small contributions. We're reaching out to educators to let them know what's going on. But it's really exciting because I think that the Guild, you know, hasn't really had the audience of young adults. So I think that this is an important step forward. And by getting a new audience, we're really opening the door to some, you know, new ideas, some innovations that will really change.
And she explains the importance of getting young writers involved.
Sometimes kids don't realize that they have a place, a voice, and their voice is often, you know, censored. So the idea that they'll be able to have a voice and work with other writers, you know, that would be my goal. You know, I'd love to see where it goes, and I'm hoping that it, you know, a lot of people will contribute and add to it. So it's exciting. I'm really excited about that.
When she's not writing or working on her next book of poems, you'll find her in the classroom. Rebecca teaches at an alternative high school and career technical center in the Capital Region, working closely with the next generation of writers, artists, and working class heroes. You can find more of her work at her website, rebecca-schmeda.com. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Tom Francis.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Wednesday, October 26th. And we start off our renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. $3.55 a gallon is the lowest price for gas. That's at the Citco in South Caro, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 20 on Wednesday. That's up from a 3 on Tuesday, but still in the good range. And the UV index, again, for the second day in a row, is a 0. That's because Wednesday there is a 40% chance of rain, according to the National Weather Service in Albany. It says there's a chance of showers and patchy fog is possible during the day with cloudy skies and a high of 66, a low around 50. Thursday should be mostly sunny, though, so the solar panels will be happier, with a high near 57 and a northwest wind around 9 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 22 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, the forecast is mostly clear skies with a low around 35 and a north wind 7 miles per hour. Friday should also be sunny with a high of 53 and a low around 33. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you'll do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxc.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or $20 a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2347, this is Ham Nation Headlines for Wednesday, October 26th, 2022. First up, news that the former laboratory of inventor Nikola Tesla has received major funding to further its development into a major science and technology center.
The former laboratory of 20th century innovator Nikola Tesla has been chosen to receive a $500,000 grant from the National Park.